So, you know, the value proposition for insider interviews is that we feature industry executives who give listeners the insider's scoop on the business of media, marketing, and advertising with a personal touch. And so today I am speaking with a woman who literally has the inside scoop, you'll hear what I mean in a minute, on marketing and all things ice cream. Hello, Erin Levzo, CMO, Museum of Ice Cream. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. This is going to be fun because you represent a fun brand. You're in your brand colors, if I'm correct.
I am in my brand colors, yes.
Okay. Absolutely. All right, so you are living the brand position. You've got the fun earrings, and we're going to talk all about why this is fun here on Insider Interviews, episode 6 of season 2. Anyway, so it was maybe a few weeks ago, we were at South by Southwest and I got to walk under a ceiling hung with bananas and then slide into a pool filled with foam sprinkles. It was a grown-ups only party that you threw at your Austin location. I'm still full, by the way. So as CMO of MOIC, which is kind of a tongue twister, talk about what that is and how this fits under something called the Figure Eight umbrella that creates Experiums. Discuss. Okay.
So Figure Eight is our parent company. Mm-hmm. We are all part of Figure Eight. And then Museum of Ice Cream is one of our brands underneath it, with more brands coming. And Museum of Ice Cream, I mean, we set out, like you said, you came to a party where we play with a childlike behavior, right? We get to play like we're kids again. And there's something beautiful about that because you watch, there are stats out there that says a 3- and 4-year-old laugh up to like 45 to 300 times a day, and adults laugh maybe 3 times a day. And so like, could you imagine if you could just laugh and have the joy, the true joy a child has when they play as an adult? And that's why it was an adults only party, but we all played like kids.
Yep.
And then on top of it, you eat unlimited ice cream. Yep. We get to celebrate the love of ice cream with it. So we are built as Figure Eight to unite and inspire through imagination and connection. And we get to do that across our whole portfolio and everything we do. And we do it through experiences, right? Experiums is this idea of building experiences that really connect with people and inspire people. And that's why so many brands come to us and they're just infatuated with the way we build an experience first approach and then put the marketing and all of the other stuff behind it, right? The product is behind the fact that it's an experience first. It's about connection, inspiring, imagination. And so it's just this beautiful ability. And like when you slid down into the sprinkles or when you were on a swing or walking through a banana forest, you just can't help but smile.
True.
And what we want people to leave with is true joy. It's not good enough that we made them happy. We want them full of joy. And that makes them want to return and share with their friends and their family.
Yes. And it absolutely did. I have been evangelizing the heck out of Museum of Ice Cream ever since. But I'd love for you to kind of paint a picture. You know, we joked about I slid down into the pool of foam sprinkles and it, you kind of had to be there, but using your best words, describe really, you have what, 5 installations or full-time locations now? And what does it look like? What does it feel like? And why when you walk in?
We do, and we're growing. So we currently have Chicago, New York City, Austin, Singapore, Shanghai. So it's global. We're continuing to grow across the globe and open more. Obviously, coming out of the pandemic, right? Every hotels were closed, right? Everybody was closed. But now we're seeing that people want experiences and connection even more. And so when you come to us, we have over 14 installations. So when you think of a typical museum and you walk room to room for installations and exhibits, we have 14 different places when you walk through our museum that you stop and you engage and you connect. And it could be stopping to play a giant wall of tic-tac-toe or playing with our magnetic tiles on the wall and spelling letters, or the banana forest, right? Walking through and taking pictures, which is like a true banana split, right? Different colors, split in half, all the way through. Then every single museum ends with a beautiful sprinkle pool. Each sprinkle pool is different. Even though different pieces of the museum might be different, every one does end with a sprinkle pool where there's some sort of slide to go down it and into the sprinkle pool, or to jump right into it and have fun and swim and whatever you want to do. And we engage and we want people to set their phones down and look at each other and yeah. play together. I joke about, like, when I go to the playground with my kids, I don't have my phone necessarily on me because, God forbid, it breaks, right? Like, so it's just about swinging and laughing and going down the slide together. And that's what we want people to do when they come to us, mm-hmm. as well as they're eating ice cream. And there's at least 5 different locations throughout the museum where you get ice cream. You can go back and get more of that ice cream if you like that ice cream. We have vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free options for people who need those things. And then, of course, your traditional hard scoop and soft scoop ice cream.
It's a whole new spin to the phrase, play with your food.
Absolutely.
Play alongside your food. Play while you're eating your food. Got it. All right. I have a question of 3 more words for you, something that I read in an article about the launch of Museum of Ice Cream. Those words are dopamine, cortisol, and oxytocin. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to the brand?
So those are all joy mechanisms, right? It's something that releases a chemical in your brain that signifies to your body to how even the chemical makeup of your body changes when those things are released. And we know that. Scientists have studied this for years. Other ways to release it are through other addictive behaviors, bad and good, right? You got working out, you got alcohol. Some of those can do the same things. But you know what else does it?
What?
Sliding in the sprinkles.
Yes.
Swinging on the swing, like doing all those things. Could you imagine just the ability to play and have fun, whether you're with your friends, your kids, whoever it might be, or a stranger?
Yeah.
Right? We've worked with different games where we want strangers to connect and get to know each other and play. And like the ability that not only does it create a memory, that when you think about that memory releases some of those chemicals, in that moment, you're releasing that chemical that fuels your body. Mm-hmm. It actually makes you healthier, right? Like studies show that those chemicals, when they're released, make your whole body and self healthier and less stressed. But it gives you this ongoing feeling. And when you think about the memory that you made there, that ability that that chemical was released is just, it's very powerful.
I love that. And speaking of love, the last time I saw you, and the reason I had the opportunity to slide into that pool in the Austin store, was because we had invited you to speak on a panel that I moderated about podcasting, which we'll talk about. But one of your fellow panelists was the global head of communications for OkCupid. So I know you do some partnerships. Let's stick a pin in that, because I think that would be awesome. So I think that a shared experience with OkCupid might be something in our future, at least mine.
Absolutely.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll reconnect you. So we talked about the panel. We're going to talk about, you know, podcasting and media in a second, but let's go back and talk a little bit more about you. I have said my friends know that I'm a big swing dancer, but we never talked about the fact that you're a ballroom dancer too, right? So that's something you do for fun. What is your dance of choice?
So really like Roomba. But yeah, we do waltz, tango, foxtrot, cha-cha, Roomba swing. I like cha-cha too. Salsa, mambo, hustle. But yeah, we dance, we compete. It's just amazing. A lot of fun. It's so much fun. And you can't think about work. You can't think about anything else when you're on the dance floor. I'm very blessed that I can have been able to dance with my husband as well as my dance partner. And we just laugh.
Yeah.
Right. Like, again, it's very childlike.
Yep.
It's fun and it's a good workout.
Completely agree. Love swing. I only know foxtrot of all of those things you mentioned, but I'll try to keep up. and so speaking of some of the things that you do, let's talk about some of the things that you've done. Because in addition to embracing dance, you've also worked with sort of the OG of entertainment brands, as in Caesars and the whole casino sector. Give us a little top line of your career trajectory.
Yes. Yeah, so when I graduated college, I headed out to Vegas. My degree's in theater, and started working in theater, fell into training and talent development. And then when the recession hit, a lot of us lost our jobs back in 2008. And Caesars corporate at the time asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, I'll do anything. I'll clean rooms, whatever you got. They said, what do you know about internet marketing? And I said, I have the Facebook. and luckily, I was hired. I started at the very bottom, like lowest you could be, and I just worked my way up. And so as people said, we need someone to do this, I inserted myself and was like, I'll do it. Like, I'll learn it. And people were like, you don't know how to do it. And I was like, who cares? Like, and that's kind of career is like, just learn it. Just figure it out. But if you can do it, I can do it. Let's figure it out together. And went from Caesars to MGM Resorts, where I led 5 properties as their internal agency for digital. That took me to Palms and Palms Place, where I led marketing, which then we decided we wanted to move from Las Vegas to raise our kids in a different location because I'm from Illinois. We thought Midwest. At the time, I got recruited to lead digital and CRM and social by Wingstop, moved to Dallas, loved it, was amazing, got recruited to then go be the CMO of Freebirds World Burrito in Austin. Moved to Austin, did that 8.5 months pregnant with the third kid, bought a house, sold a house, had a baby, started a new job. You know, like no, nothing too small.
Right.
And did that and then went to Hathaway Bounteous, MarTech agency to lead their CRM vertical and loyalty vertical. And then was recruited up to Wisconsin, where I was the CMO of Marcus Hotels and Resorts. Marcus Hotels and Resorts is a 21 hotel and resort property, 50 independent restaurants, and just really focused in, built a beautiful hotel here in Milwaukee, which is where I live now. Then was recruited over to Del Taco and Jack in the Box, where was Del Taco then purchased by Jack in the Box, where I led marketing technology. And then as of not long ago, end of December, I joined Museum of Ice Cream and Figure Eight.
And did that require you to move again?
Nope. I still live, I'm sitting in my office in our house in Pewaukee, Wisconsin.
That's incredible. And I love the can-do attitude. And, you know, I say as Moss Appeal that my sort of brand slogan, if you will, is just figure it out and do it. So I kind of hijacked the Nike slogan. So I love that that's your MO as well. And I want to talk about leadership a little bit later on as well and see how you inspire others to just figure it out and do it. But in the meantime, you have done so many different things that it's a clear path, I think, with the entertainment, the hospitality, the QSR that led you to Museum of Ice Cream. So which of those characteristics are you most utilizing right now?
I would say everything I've done in the past has led me to here. Mm-hmm. And so what's interesting about Museum of Ice Cream is there's a food and beverage component. There's a bar in each one of our locations. As well as there's the above store purchasing of tickets, which is very similar to hotels and hospitalities, right? Buying everything before you even get to the location. So like all of these different pieces from the different sections that, and sectors that I've worked at have collided. And so while I know in when you look at a lot of companies, when they go to hire, they'll say, well, we only want someone who has this background, right? And it has to be very specific. Oh, if you don't have a CPG background, you're going to fail here. And I actually, you know, kudos to our founders who looked at me and went, I've never worked in necessarily museums, right? I've never worked in your typical experiential museum, but I have all of this background that collides to make for the perfect fit, I feel, for what we're building here.
Yep. Speaking of building, I'll also vamp off of that. When MOIC. Is that what the cool kids say?
Sure.
Okay. Really, that launched about, I think, a year or so before the start of the pandemic. And I was reading, or maybe this interview took place about a year before, a 2019 Forbes article that described it as, and I'm going to read this, in an era where technology has disrupted the physical landscape, whether it's retail, hospitality, entertainment, one thing's clear, humans are looking for connection amid a world of distractions, and retailers are looking for a way to reinvigorate IRL visitor experiences.
Yep.
So how has that approach evolved and had to adjust? How did you survive the last 3 years? And now are you sort of doubling down on that IRL experience?
It's a good question and a great quote. I think that we did launch in 2016. So we're like the original. They call us the OG of experiential museums, right? We were one of the first. In fact, our founder will talk about how she went out and she spoke to so many people about, hey, this is what we're building. And so many people were like, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. No one's going to come and do that, right? This is before all of these other pop-ups happened, right? And to their dismay, or to her credit, when she built this, lines around the block, right? Wow. People were just waiting. Of course, the pandemic hurt us just like it hurt everyone, right? We were under lockdown. Everybody was. And we're in big, big cities where the lockdowns were some of the worst anywhere, right? New York City, those areas. Absolutely, coming out of the pandemic, people need connection. Mm-hmm. We need it. And I think we honestly have an appreciation. We needed it before. We've always needed it. The ability to share with one another and connect. Always needed it.
Yeah.
Ice cream, we do not, there's no one that is not welcome. We welcome everyone.
Well, that said, do you have a primary target audience though? What's your primary and secondary? Let me ask you that way.
So when we look at who does come, mm-hmm. we do have a lot of families that attend, right? It's a great excursion. A lot of young adults, right? It's like, so secondarily young adults from like a date night, right? You could go sit in a movie theater and not talk to
okay,
each other.
Okay, Cupid. That's what I'm right. talking
yeah.
about.
You, like I said, you could go sit in a movie theater, you could not talk to each other, or
yep.
you can come and play together, right? What better way to connect and see if there's chemistry?
Right.
And then from there, it opens the door to just about everyone, tourists, people visiting. So oftentimes we have a lot of tourists just because we're in markets where it's heavy tourists. In yeah. Chicago, we're on the Magnificent Mile, right in the Tribune building, right?
Mm. Well, you were named, you know, after this incredible journey where you've pushed your sleeves up and taught yourself and done it all. One of your many awards was MarTech Leader of the Year from Internet Marketing Association and the Impact Award. So you are the right woman to ask this. How do you reach those multiple audiences and you know, how do you manage data-driven targeting and marketing?
Data is an amazing thing that people don't mind giving as long as they receive something in return. We use it for good, and I call us ethical hackers, which is this ability to take data and use it to target for good. What better way than if I know that you are a mom with children than to serve up an ad? And I know spring break is coming up, and I know that people are like, what am I going to do with my kids? Mm-hmm. Because guess what? I'm that same person that's like, I don't want to spend the whole week with my kids doing nothing. Like, what are we supposed to do? And all of a sudden I get an ad saying, hey, I can go to the Museum of Ice Cream. Not only am I Mother of the Year now, because my kids are in love with me for that, but two, it becomes an easy win where I can take them. We can have fun together. It creates a bonding for myself and my kids. And I don't have to do a lot of heavy lifting to get us there.
Yeah.
So, but that's using targeting for good. And we can do that across the board, especially because we're in tourist markets. Knowing when someone's about to come to the market is really important, right? You might live in Louisiana, but I know you're about to come to Texas. And I know you're about to come to Austin, Texas. Making sure you see our ad is really important.
And where do I see your ads? I want to talk about media. So we were on a panel that talked about podcasting, as I teased mm-hmm. earlier, a very hot stage. You can hear a little bit more about that panel in episode 5, by the way, oh, wonderful listeners. But aside from podcasting, which I'll ask you to discuss, what media channels are your drugs of choice?
Yeah, it could be across the board. It could be tourism travel channels. It could be publisher direct channels, as well as then programmatic, right? And it's less about where it shows up digitally. It's about who it shows up to, right? Mm-hmm. And then social media is very hot for us, just like it is for many brands. So absolutely on there. And then it just depends. Like, it depends on what type of seasonality we're in and where we're going, whether it's digital or terrestrial radio, connected TV, things like that.
Now, interesting that you said social media, and I don't know if this was a specific choice or it was because where your audience is or isn't, but I noticed that Museum of Ice Cream says on a Twitter account, we don't tweet, but we're still sweet. So clearly, you're such a visual institution, and I think a lot of your launch was based on it being so Instagram worthy. But talk to me about social media and trends you see these days, fears, loves, etc.
Yeah, so I mean, social media is always evolving, so we keep an eye on it, right? Like, it was only a couple years ago that we all thought Clubhouse was going to be the next big thing.
Right.
I don't feel like I've heard anything about that in a long time, but maybe I'm wrong and maybe it's still really cool, in which case don't send me an email, anyone listening, telling me I'm wrong. But it could be really cool, in which case you're all for it. But we do keep an eye on what's emerging. But yes, our demo is TikTok, Instagram, some Facebook, things like that. And so we're very particular about where we spend our time because it is about resources, right? You can't be everything to everyone, even though everyone is welcome. Mm-hmm. We have to really focus in where we want to spend our energy. And we are an immersive brand. So seeing pictures, seeing video of what you can do, mm-hmm. right, helps explain to someone who may not have any idea what the Museum of Ice Cream is.
Yeah. Well, you know, they do say that audio and podcasting in particular, is the highest rate of audience engagement of any medium. And so if we're seeing TikTok going away, maybe you'll leverage podcasting for the first time and take advantage of that theater of the mind. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think that I've done a lot of podcast advertising in the past.
Yes, with El Taco.
Yeah, it's when it's right for this brand as well, and it's something we're continuing to explore.
Okay, I like that answer. Now, how do you demonstrate ROI by channel, return on investment?
So we track and tag everything, right? So okay. It could be through certain promotion codes. It could be all the way through just the tag following all the way through the conversion and being able to report back on it that way. So that every median is tagged and tracked separately.
And are you bullish on anything in particular that's sort of emerging? And how are you feeling about Web3?
I keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
It has kind of done the same thing I feel like NFTs did. It like went, ooh.
Or Clubhouse.
Yeah, right. Like, so we watch it. Like, is there a need and love and passion around the metaverse? Absolutely. Is it something that I am spending millions of dollars in right now? No.
Okay.
So there is a threshold in which you want to play in it. And so we keep an eye on it. We have gone and we are going into the metaverse in different ways. And with, I would say we're walking into it. We're not running into it. But otherwise, we definitely pay attention to what's happening around us.
Okay, because I could see my avatar dressed in a really cute, hot,
exactly,
pink sweater with the brand colors. All right. So you are doing some really interesting stuff, and I am a particular fan of this partnership marketing. Two things that are near and dear to my heart: Ian Wishengrad's brand, Three Wishes cereal, Kendra Scott, which you did something with like bananas and baubles. Talk about how you've done that, aside from, you know, how I think OkCupid would be good.
So partners are really important to us, and we take very good care of our partners as well as they take very good care of us. And they come to us because we've already spent the capital to build such a beautiful experience. So why wouldn't you want to be involved in that, right? And we have a strong, strong following. I would tell you that with Three Wishes, it was a no-brainer, right? We had National Ice Cream for Breakfast Week, and it is such a wonderful, wonderful company. That we had a call with them and we said, hey, and it turns out their kids love the museum too, and said, hey, do you want to partner together? And they, yeah, absolutely. It was very simple. Kendra Scott, same thing. They came to us actually and said, what do you think? Because they are a global brand. We are a global brand. All of our locations are actually very close to their locations. And their flagship is in Austin. So we partnered together to build like a mini museum, like a mini installation in Kendra Scott flagship store in Austin. So anyone who went in there during February, which was their love month for us, we had a share the love month, and they could go in and see kind of their own banana room and different hearts. And then it was mixed in with their jewelry collection. We also implemented that in our locations with a special custom Kendra Scott ice cream. And that people could try. So we really partnered together. We also partner for Black History Month. We partnered with local Black owned ice cream parlors in each area, and just saw that really take off, right? We had Ida in Chicago, and Ida was in an incubator space in Lawndale. And we partnered with her, and she like said her phone hadn't stopped ringing after we partnered together, because what we allowed is for her to open her doors to a whole new audience that she hadn't tapped into yet. And that, as a startup, to be honest, is very hard to tap into a brand new audience or a big audience like that without partnerships. Yeah. So we were really excited to partner with her and share her story.
That's great. And what's also important to you also is that I know that you're a purpose-driven organization, and embracing multiple audiences is just one part of it. But thanks to your fellow panelist from that Austin day, Linda Bethay, who was in episode 3 of Insider Interviews, she talks a lot about brand purpose, because Danone is the largest B Corp in the U.S. Talk to me about what brand purpose means to you, Erin, and to Museum of Ice Cream or Figure Eight.
Absolutely. So we started by talking about like our whole mission is to unite and inspire through imagination and connection. You can't do that without that strong brand purpose behind you. Everything we do ladders back to that. And this idea that we are really there to put good into the world, right? To create joy. And so when someone comes to me, and the worst thing I can ever hear is if someone possibly, which is a rare occurrence, says, I didn't have fun. I'm like, what? Like, what happened? How did that possibly happen? Like, that is literally everything we don't stand for. If everything we do goes through a filter, just like any company, what is your purpose, right? What do you set out to do? And for us, it's to unite and inspire. And as long as we do that, we know, and everything that goes through that funnel fits within that, we know we're on the right track.
Great, great. And is there a balancing act between sort of that being your brand and how you market brand purpose without it feeling disingenuous or, you know, pandering?
Yes, I think it has to feel natural to us. Now we have it is a fun brand, right? Yeah. Like, so it makes it a little easier. Being able to, we don't just say that we're for everyone. We show that we're for everyone, right? Everybody's welcome. We want to make sure that you can see yourself in the museum when you look at our advertising. That's really important to me and to our founders. But yes, I don't think that we look like we're faking it. I think we often do check ourselves and look back and go, are we doing the things that we set out to do? Are we being true to ourselves and authentic to ourselves? Mm.
Well, you have had a lot of balance in your career and a lot of need for balance. And one of the things that I heard you talk about was radical candor. And mm-hmm. I think that's fantastic because you're not afraid to speak your mind. And yet I'm wondering how in mentoring or leading others, you encourage a balance between candor and empathy, and how do you empower people to also employ radical candor, especially if you're a little bit more of an introvert, unlike us?
So radical candor, I actually just had a conversation with someone recently about this because they said like, it's hard to do, like be direct. And I said, but if you are direct because you love someone and care for them, that's radical candor. Mm. If you're being direct, but you don't love or care for someone, then you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Right. So when you're thinking about what you're saying, it actually is a true form. It's not a this or that. It is a true form of empathy by being like, hey, let me hear where you're at and let me tell you what I'm seeing. And then let's talk through how to get you there. And my thing is, I'm never just telling someone something or being very direct with them without the idea that I'm going to be behind you, pushing you up the hill. As a leader, you'll never find me in the front pulling the sled. I'm behind them pushing. Mm-hmm. And when they need the push, I'm there. If they fall, I'm there to catch them. But I'm going to push, and I am going to, because I want people to do the best they can. And people did that for me. Mm-hmm. I've worked in a lot of environments, some that I learned what not to do, some I learned exactly what I wanted to do, right? And that's the best place you can be, is to be able to learn how I want to coach my team and how they can coach me, because radical candor goes both ways. It's not just me telling someone, it's I want my team to tell me, right? I had a conversation the other day where I apologized to someone for something that bothered me that I felt like maybe wasn't true to my form. And they went, oh, I didn't think anything of it. Huh. And I thought, huh, it probably bothered me more because it wasn't my authentic self coming out. And I wanted to make sure they didn't read it wrong. And they went, no, didn't think of them, but it weighed on me. And yeah. I wanted to share that with them. And I give that to my team so that when they have those moments, they can come back and go, you know what? Hey, this is what I did. I'm sorry. And we can move on. We give each other grace. You move on. The only way you can do that is if you care for someone, you love someone, you share direct feedback, you're able to take that feedback, you give grace, you move on.
Well, I think that that is also really emblematic of having a balance. You know, you have a bit of the humility to, you know, check yourself and yet speak up. So that seems like two really good qualities. Was there anyone in particular that you want to shout out who pushed you up that hill?
I've had a lot of people, but I would say Bobby Shaw. Bobby Shaw is now, he's actually ironically at an ice cream company at Salt and Straw, but he was my CEO at Freebirds, and he's a strength-based leader. And it's all about lifting people up through their strengths, right? And Gallup Strength Finder coach. And he, to me, was someone that would listen to me, provide feedback, and then cheer me on. And he was pushing me up that hill, right? He was pushing me. He wanted me to succeed, but he was definitely behind me pushing. And I look to be like that for people who work with me.
Well, the proof is in the pudding or the ice cream, because thank you very much. I'll be here through Thursday. because you also received the AW New York Future is Female Award from Advertising Week. Any parting words of advice for those women who are trying to push themselves up the hill, or anyone fresh into the marketing world? What would you leave us with?
I would say that women scrutinize ourselves more than other people do. And I wouldn't even say that. Like, we know that. It's statistics, right? Every book you read, Lean In, when you read it, it's like when a guy raises their hand versus when a woman. The woman needs to feel like she has 100% of the answer. The guy only has 60%, but his hand's in the air, and the woman's going, do I have 100%? Raise your hand. Learn it. Figure it out. Right. It'll be fine. And I have coached and mentored a lot of women through the space of all ages, and they'll come to me and they're like, how did you know you were ready? And I was like, I didn't. I was like, I had no idea. I said, you know what I did? I said, okay. And then I figured it out. And a lot of it, there's a leadership book from Second City called Yes And. And it's like in improv, you never shut anything down. Mm-hmm. You say yes, you build on it, right? If someone says like, hey, I brought a goat to the party, you'd be like, you wouldn't be like, no, you didn't bring a goat. You'd be like, that's great. Bring the goat in. I brought a cow, right? Like, you build on it. And that's how you build, like, that's how you build your career is like, you go, all right, let's do it, right? You figure it out. And the same way that our founder, who again, so smart, she took something, the original thing, and she went out and said, I'm going to do this, right? Mm-hmm. She had a dream of sliding into a sprinkle pool. She said, I'm going to go build this. And people went, you can't do that. And she was like, yeah, I can. Yes, I can. And she figured it out, right? Whether she was in the museum actually nailing the nails, right, with the hammer, whatever she was doing, she figured it out. And then that's what grew it to where we are and why I'm blessed. And that's what made me want to join a company like this, because they said, yes, we know we have something special. Let's keep going.
Erin, you are so sweet. And fierce and candid. I love all of those qualities with a cherry on top. And so the last answer I want from you is, and this is going to be really hard, tough one, favorite flavor.
Right now it changes, but right now it's chocolate chip cookie dough. And I really like the ice cream that makes the most cookie dough bites in there are my favorite, because like, that's really what I pick out. So it's so good.
I got to have stuff in my ice cream as well. Yeah. No Neapolitan for me anyway. Oh, Erin Levzo, CMO of Museum of Ice Cream. Thank you so much for joining us. This was an absolute delight and the dessert on my week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you got some good insider scoop from this episode of Insider Interviews with me, E.B. Moss. If you enjoyed this content, please feel free to buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/mossappeal. And I hope you'll follow Insider Interviews on social media and let me know if you have a question or a suggestion for a next stellar guest in media, marketing, and advertising. Speaking of stellar, my theme music was composed and performed by the incomparable Grammy-winning John Clayton. If I can help you with your company's podcast, please find me at mossappeal.com. Thanks again for listening.